You're listening to AFR, the Armed Forces Radio Network.
Around the world and coast to coast, this is the Phil Nason Show.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to the Phil Nason Show.
Hey everybody, welcome to the Phil Nason Show. I'm happy to have you here. We'll be here for as long as it takes. We're going to talk nothing but NBA. I've got a great guest today. His name is Xavier Cooper. He's from Soaring Down South. We'll get to that him in a minute. He's hanging on there right now. But we want to thank Bovada and the Dollar Shave Club for sponsoring this show. We want to thank Armed Forces Radio for airing this show, Maximum Sports Channels, and the 405 Media. Get on over there and check us out. We're on each of those networks daily. If you want to bring this show to your station, just let us know at info@philnasonshow.com. And let's just bring out my guest. We have a great time on Twitter. I give him a hard time, but that's because I like him. His name is Xavier Cooper. Welcome to the show, my friend. You are in the house.
Thanks for having me, Phil. Thanks for having me, man. I really appreciate it.
Hey, you bet, man. I always try to help the young fellas out as much as I can. You know, you write for SoaringDownSouth.com. That's an Atlanta Hawks website in the fan-sided network. And tell us a little bit about you and go ahead and promote the site and your Twitter and all that sort of thing.
Okay, well, me, I'm 23. Just graduated from IUPUI.
Ooey pooey.
Yeah. Okay, you know about ooey pooey.
Of course I do.
So, majoring in sports journalism there. Doing mostly writing right now, but I eventually want to break into the broadcasting world, so this is some good practice for me. And like I said, I work for Fansided. I really enjoy working there. People there are pretty cool. They allow a lot of creativity. They don't really have any limits on what you can, you know, write about. Of course, you know, you can't go too crazy, but I would ask anybody who's just starting to write to go to Fansided and try to, you know, write for a website, a team, or whatever.
Yeah, they pay too. They pay by the hit, and it's a great experience. I wrote for Fansided for a few months. I did some features for Michael Dunlop, who's now in charge of all that Fansided stuff. There's some great sites over there. If you get the chance, folks, it's SoaringDownSouth.com. He's Xavier Cooper. And now, what are we going to do about this NBA East? I don't get it. You know, people talk about the East being the least, and that's the part I don't get, because I don't think it's the least at all. And I'm really surprised right now. Right now, if everything were to stop today, and we have a week left, the Miami Heat would be the A seed. The A seed of the East. Heat.
Man, that's weird. That's weird to say. That's weird to think about.
But it is. I mean, the thing is that with Dwayne Wade gone, now, I understand for somebody trying to tell me that the litmus test for a good coach is, can they win without a top 10 player? Well, I think that Eric Spoelstra has proven that they can win without a top 10 player. And we're looking at this team, this Miami Heat team. Can they hang on? Do they hang on, Xavier?
Oh, man. Personally, I don't think they can hang through the playoffs.
Can they get there, though?
I think they can get there. I think they have so much confidence right now that they're gonna get there. I think they're gonna make that eighth seed. It's just a matter of, you know, trying to see if they have enough confidence to beat Cleveland or Boston.
Well, they're the team that can beat Cleveland. They've beaten them already a couple of times this year. That's a scary team. I've talked to a lot of guys who are in the know, and they say that the team nobody wants to play is the Miami Heat. They don't mind playing the Pacers because they can beat the Pacers. They figure if they can lock down Jeff Teague, or Jeff Teague has his typical playoff struggles, and if Paul George tries to do too much, plus they can't play on the road at all. They're 11-27 on the road. They got a good chance of knocking them off. But the Heat are playing really good, man. Eric Spoelstra could be the coach of the year.
Yeah, I think he is. I really think he is. I mean, like you said, to lose Dwayne Wade and still come back and you know, fight for that eighth seed, that tells a lot, you know. And, you know, of course, he's very experienced, you know, having LeBron James and Chris Bosh. And I finally think this year people will look at Eric Spoelstra as a really good coach, you know, instead of, you know, saying, well, you have LeBron James, Chris Bosh, and Dwayne Wade. Well, you can't say that about him this year, you know.
And
like
you say,
he doesn't have a top 10 player, so.
And then he has to deal with Hassan Whiteside, who is who he is, Deion Waiters. A lot of personalities down there. A lot of guys who probably have a higher opinion of their game than, say, reality. But that's just it. And I think he's done a great job, and I think he's always been overrated, or overlooked, I should say. Not overrated, overlooked. Because look what he had to do when he had LeBron James. I mean, LeBron James is not the easiest person to coach. There's no question about that. And yet he was able to manage that. I don't know. I think they hang on. And if they do, they have to play. If it started today, they'd have to play Boston. But what about the Bulls? The Bulls have had some turmoil, too. And they could wind up falling on the outside, and the Pacers might be able to catch them.
Yeah. Yeah, they could. The Bulls could end up falling out or making it. I actually think the Bulls are a dangerous team if they made it, too, depending on who they played. Because they have players on the team that can ride games out alone, like Jimmy Butler. Dwayne Wade's out for the season, so that's kind of ruined. But if they had Dwayne Wade, I think they would have been a dangerous team. You know,
seems like they're playing better without Dwayne Wade.
Yeah, it seems like it. Seems like it. Rondo's hitting outside shots now.
Yeah, that's kind of a puzzler too, because he's not known for that. But then again, you know, it's contract stuff. You got to go out there and show people you can ball if you want to keep playing in the NBA. And there's no better time than heading toward the playoffs. But it's really strange that everyone looked at Dwayne Wade as this model statesman and all this stuff, and Rondo as this troublemaker. And what happens? Rondo turns out to be the statesman after all, and apparently Dwayne Wade's the troublemaker. I mean, what are you going to do? What do you do with that team? And the thing with them and their coaches under fire, if they make the playoffs, Fred Hoiberg has to keep his job. Just has to.
Yeah, he has to. I think so. I mean, just like in the offseason when they assembled the team, you know, it was some obvious holes just right away. And you were like, you know, it's no way they can make it. So I feel like if they do make it, that's definitely a big accomplishment for Fred Hoiberg.
It should be. Yeah.
They have no three shooters.
None.
You know?
You know what? Mirotić is really stepping up his game. He said that he came out. He's a quiet kid, by the way. And he says, now you're about to see the real Mirotić. Watch out for me. And I think he's right. But you know what? The coaches poll came out, and we can kind of intermingle this with our chat about the East. Fred Hoiberg is rated as the worst coach in the NBA.
Really?
That's nuts.
Yeah, I think that I don't think that's fair to him.
It's not fair. And the worst part of it is, I don't know if you remember, but last year Brian Shaw was coaching the Denver Nuggets, and he got into trouble with his team, and he said, I can't win with this team because they quit on me. They don't do what I ask them to do. And I'm thinking to myself, that's a difficult thing to deal with. And these coaches have to go through so much. I don't get why a kid like Fred Hoiberg, who's quiet, they talk about him in the press, I mean, his own team. This guy deserves a medal, man, to coach that bunch.
That's true. It's a lot of alpha males in there. And,
too many.
Yeah, right. And I mean, you know, just as well as I do, it's way bigger than just X's and O's. You know, you have to be able to make minds come together and try to win games. And it's kind of hard when everybody thinks they're the best player on the team, you know.
That's a good point, too. That's a good point, because that's what it is. They think that they're the best player on the team. Sometimes guys get a high opinion of themselves, and it's up to the coach to rein them in. Now, I don't know what's going to happen with that, to be honest with you. I have no idea.
Well, see, I thought earlier in the year, I thought, you know, Dwayne Wade was going to play, you know, sort of a mentor to Jimmy Butler. And, you know, usually when that happens, usually the other person, you know, the mentee actually, you know, sits back and soaks up everything, and they're like, you know, I'll sit back and let Dwayne Wade do his thing. But I don't know, it kind of turned into one of those things where, okay, you taught me some things, now I'm going to take what you taught me and I'm going to try to lead this team myself.
If that's what he did, you know, it appears from all points and all of that we've read is that he's taught him how to speak out about his team in the press. But I think Jimmy Butler already knew how to do that. But I don't think the Bulls make the playoffs. I honestly don't think they do. I don't think Butler's enough. And I don't think Rondo's, for however good it looks on paper, I don't think that shooting thing is going to last. And if it doesn't, you know, they got Mirotić. Robin Lopez, when he's not wrecking mascots, he's does do a nice job, but they're not as good as that team. Now, when you look at the Hawks, now the sixth seed, the Hawks. Now, I thought they'd win 50 games this year. I guess I was a little too overconfident about what they've done. What do you say about the Hawks? You write about them. What do you say about the Hawks?
Well, just getting a up close and personal look at them, Dwight Howard. He's done more trouble than I thought he would do. You know, I tried to give him a chance, but not any locker room issues. It's just simply the way he plays. I feel like he should pass more. He should do more things to get his other teammates involved rather than look for his own shot. You know, he's been posting up, and like we all know, Dwight Howard's not the best post-up player. More of a face-up guy, maybe, you know, a pick and roller. But he's just been – the way he's been playing, I don't feel like it's been – I don't think it's for the betterment of the team, you know. I think he's looking for his own shots. You know,
I don't think that Mike Budenholzer had anything to do with bringing him to Atlanta.
Yeah, I don't. I'm not sure.
Yeah, I don't think either. He talked about Budenholzer talked about culture for the last 2 years, and then he brings in one of the guys who probably will destroy your culture faster than help build it.
Right. It's. And me personally, I don't think Dwight's a horrible person. It's just the way he plays. Sometimes it doesn't help win games. It's just he's gonna put up his 20 points and 10 rebounds, but it doesn't really correlate to wins. You know.
Well, that's just it.
Yeah, right. Dwight Howard having a good night. I don't become impressed by that anymore because he's had plenty of good nights and we've had plenty of bad games. So guys like Dennis Schroeder and Tim Hardaway Jr., when they have great games, we win. Millsap has a great game, then we win, you know. But I think Dwight Howard is starting to get back to playoff form and he's starting to play a little better. So when Millsap gets back, then I think the Hawks might have a better chance of beating someone in a series.
I agree with you. You know, the thing is, too, with Dwight Howard, every time I want to rip on him, and I do, and I host the Peachtree Hoops podcast with Chris Willis, and every time I want to rip on him, the guy gets 15 rebounds. And it's pretty hard to rip on a guy who gets 15 rebounds, but to me, he's kind of blocking the trail for these other guys because he's not very mobile. He doesn't step out, do much, and he just blocks everything up. He clogs everything up. These guys need room to move. You know, that's what Al Horford gave them. Al Horford would camp out in the wing and just let guys go to the hole. You know, that's
right.
But the thing is Horford, the knock on Horford, and rightly so, is that he's not the greatest rebounder. I don't know if he's not the greatest rebounder. I don't think he's that interested in rebounding, but that's neither here nor there. We also learned about the Hawks is that Paul Millsap is very valuable to that team. I think that they're a lottery team without Paul Millsap.
I totally agree. I totally agree. You know, I knew Millsap was important, but I didn't think he was that important. You would think that Millsap was a superstar, how important he is. Like, you know, he's been out for a few games, and, I mean, we look horrible against bad teams. So he's definitely important to the team, and you know the Hawks have to make that big decision over the summer whether to keep him or not.
What do you do if you're Mike Budenholzer? Do you bring him back?
I bring him back only if we cannot land another big free agent, say a Gordon Hayward or somewhere, you know, or get a trade for like you know, something outrageous like a Jimmy Butler or something like that. Right. But you know, I feel like with the Hawks organization, I feel like it's going to be very tempting to bring Paul Millsap back because he's so good. But he is getting up there in age, and signing him to a max contract, you're not going to be able to really sign anyone else. You're pretty much going to come back with the same team you had this year. And this year's team is good. It's okay, but it's not good enough to go to make a finals run.
No, it's not. You know, I don't think so either. And the thing is that what is Paul Millsap? 32-year-old Paul Millsap is already having some issues, and he has in the past too. What is 36-year-old Paul Millsap going to be at $40 million a year? He's going to be like Carmelo Anthony on the Knicks. He looks good on paper. He looks good on the court. But at the end of the day, you can't field a team around him because you can't pay these guys. You're stuck. And if you bring back Tim Hardaway Jr. also, you are hamstrung for the next 5 years. And you're not going to win a championship with Paul Millsap and Tim Hardaway Jr.
No, not unless some type of miraculous way Tim Hardaway becomes like James Harden or something.
Well, that's going to take a miracle, and I don't think that's – you know what? I don't think he – see, one of the things that a wise NBA scout told me, and I checked it out, and I agree, you come into this league already great. You don't work your way up to it. You either have it or not. Harden always – we always knew Harden could do stuff. And now he's playing 35 minutes, and he just blew up. And with this Mike D'Antoni, we'll talk about the West in a little bit, he's just gone completely bonkers. But we always knew it was there. With Tim Hardaway Jr., we didn't always know it was there. And I still sometimes don't believe it's there. I think he's had a good season at times, and I think he's had a bad season at times. But he's so streaky, he can't lead a team for a full 82 games and a playoffs as streaky as he is, I don't think.
I agree, you know. Tim Hardaway, I'm never really hard on Tim Hardaway because I feel like he's doing better than I expected him to do.
Yes, he is. I agree with that.
But, yeah, I kind of agree. I think his ceiling is like maybe a six-man player. I think that might be his ceiling, like a Lou Williams. And that's even high. I mean, that's pretty high up there. But, yeah, you're right. And with the Paul Millsap thing, like I tell everybody, I don't think you can make it very far when your best players are at the power forward and center position. I think in today's league, you have to have a star at positions 1 through 3. At least one of those positions have to have a star.
Oh yes, you need 3. Look at Golden State. You know, whatever. We just threw the whole show away. The bottom line is this: look at Golden State. They had 3 all-stars, and they didn't think it was enough, and they went out and got a 4th one.
Yeah, exactly. It's never enough. It's never enough. I mean, KD went down,
look at the difference in that team.
Yeah, it's a big
now, how is it possible, Xavier? How is it possible? This is going to become a really great show. How is it possible that you can have this team who won 73 games, and I wrote about this at Peachtree Hoops a couple weeks ago. You got 73 wins. You come back from 1-3 down to win and get to the finals, and then you blow a 3-1 lead, and instead of going, you know what, we just had the greatest regular season ever in the history of the NBA, you know what, let's just blow it up and go get Kevin Durant.
Yeah, that, you know, initially I looked at that and I was like, wow, like they just assembled like the best starting five ever. But then I looked at it and I'm like, you know, if KD gets hurt, what are they going to lean on? You know, Steph Curry had an amazing season, but, you know, sometimes Steph Curry, I swear some of his shots are just luck. Like, he's a great player. I mean, we know he's a great 3-point shooter, but it's just some shots he makes, and I'm like, come on, that was just in his favor. Like, you know, and you can't always count on Steph Curry to make unbelievable shots, you know. Can't always count on that. And KD going down, them going to get KD, it took away from their bench.
Oh, yes, it did.
So, you know, you had Leandro Barbosa and other, like, role players coming off the bench and helping. Now you Spates. Don't have those players. Yeah, Maurice Spates.
Then you gave away Harrison Barnes.
Yeah, he's doing good in Dallas.
They hurt. It really hurts that team. Yeah, you notice though, like Andrew Bogut, he might not have been the great star on that team, but do you remember the last couple seasons how many times the Golden State Warriors popped off in the press? Never.
Never. Yeah.
Now Bogut's gone, and all of a sudden Draymond Green is really running his mouth. Draymond Green never ran his mouth he hadn't run his mouth as much in previous seasons as he has this year.
No, he let his game talk it. Like,
well, because you know why? Because they had veterans in that locker room, a veteran presence who said, "Hey, you young fellas, shut the F up. You know, what have you done? Nothing." I mean, these are guys. Mo Spates, would you mess with Mo Spates? I wouldn't mess with Mo Spates if I had a 9mm in my hand.
Right.
I mean, he's in my all back alley team for a reason. He's a tough kid. And Barbosa is a tough kid. And Andrew Bogut is a nasty son of a gun. And, of course, you had a good kid who played really good defense who took a backseat in Harrison Barnes, who's kind of flourished in Dallas, all things considered. You blow up your team. You blow up a 73-win team for Kevin Durant. You deserve to lose.
Right. Like, yeah, I mean, KD's great, but you can't just not go. You can't be a great team and just not have any insurance. You know, any insurance. Like, it's just not going to work. You know,
but their strength was their bench because they were good 1 through 10. You didn't know how to attack them.
Yeah, that was their whole slogan: strength in numbers. At one point, so
exactly, and they all played defense, and they all were good. Now, granted, they played really good defense with Durant on the floor. Durant really has helped them out, and they were leading the league in rim protection, which was the pundits were saying, "Well, they just gave up all their rim protection." Well, Kevin Durant can block shots when he wants to. He's a long guy. He's got like an 8-foot wingspan, for goodness sakes. You know, that's just lazy journalism right there. That's not ooey-pooey type journalism.
No, definitely not. No,
I know ooey-pooey, man. Believe me, I know ooey-pooey. But at the end of the day, you've got that team, Golden State, and we're just going to go back and forth now because we just blew up the whole outline, and that's okay, too.
Yeah, it's okay. It's
all good, dude. Don't worry about it.
We're excited about the playoffs in general. So,
I'm looking forward to this because it's a long season when you're covering it. And the thing is you've got this Portland Trailblazers. I didn't think that they would pull it off. They made a good trade for Nurkic. Now he's got a broken leg. You know, when they run out that schedule and he's not going to be back for the regular season, they have a 2.5-game lead over Denver. Portland has 5 of their last 6 games against big guys, centers, who can take over games. That's going to be an issue. I'm hoping Denver catches them because they were my dark horse all year.
Yeah, I would like Denver to make some noise. You know, I like Portland, but the Nuggets, man, I feel so sorry for them, man. They haven't had any, you know, real success in these last years. I remember when they used to go at it with the Warriors, and now the Warriors are like, you know, miles ahead of them now. And so it's like, I kind of want Denver to make it as well. You know, Portland can make it just because Damian Lillard and CJ McCollum can, you know, maybe take them there. You know, they're pretty confident guys in their shots. So
yeah, but they don't play defense. They're horrific. But, you know, we go back to this coaches poll. Terry Stotts. Last season, he lost 5 of his 6 top scorers.
Man.
They make the playoffs and win 2 rounds. They ranked him number 14 in the NBA. They ranked tied with Billy Donovan. They ranked Tyronn Lue 10th. They ranked Dwayne Casey 8. Brad Stevens, whose teams have not won a playoff matchup, is number 3, and you have the nerve to put Terry Stotts as a tie for 14th?
Yeah, it doesn't make any sense. I feel like a lot of people fall in love with the potential of these coaches instead of what they really are.
Tyronn Lue's not even the coach. He carries the ball bag.
Right.
LeBron James is the coach of that team. I don't care if anybody fires me for that statement. I say it to his face. He ain't the coach of that team.
No, I agree. I mean, you know, when Tyronn Lue first came there, I think they said that he had to kind of like he had to like kind of come at LeBron James like, dude, this is my team. I'm the coach. Like,
well, let him do that. I don't buy that. You know what? He got the job because he was dirty. That was a dirty way they did David Blatt. Tyronn Lue got in there. That was ridiculous. Whatever, Tyronn Lue, whatever. He's got LeBron James. He can be whoever he wishes. If Tyronn Lue were the coach of the New York Knickerbockers, they would be worse than the Brooklyn Nets.
Oh, man. Yeah, they would be horrific. No way.
Forget Tyronn Lue. He's in the top 10, my foot. But back to Terry Stotts. You lose all those players and all of it. And I heard the criteria should be how they coach when they don't have a top 10 player.
Right.
Well, then he definitely got in because Damian Lillard wasn't a top 10 NBA player last year. He definitely deserves better than what he got this year. Definitely. 17th. Who makes these lists?
I'm wondering the same thing. Like, it's no way he's that far down. It's no way.
Okay, so now let me ask you this. You cover the Hawks. Mm-hmm. Now, Mike Budenholzer, number 11. Is that fair?
That's I think that's pretty fair. I think it's actually better than what most people would have gave him.
I'm not a fan of Budenholzer at all.
Yeah, I think some people would have put him like right at. I think some people would have put Coach Bud at 14. but I think he's doing a pretty good job, and I say this because Coach Bud's not used to. I know we spoke earlier about Dwight Howard clogging up the lanes. He's not used to having that type of center. And to have Dwight Howard and Dennis Schroeder playing a starting lineup together the first year and Dennis Schroeder not be that experienced and have him to have to play with a center that doesn't space the floor and we still rack up, you know, close to 40. We're probably going to get 40 wins. I think that's incredible, being able to do that, making it work. And I think that's Coach Bud. I think that's Coach Bud making it work. I don't think Dwight and Dennis came together and was like, you know, let's try to make this thing work. I think that's a testament of Coach Bud.
I think so too. You know, it's Mike Budenholzer I don't care for. I didn't say anything about his coaching or his GM work. I just don't care for him. But the thing is, I'm going to have my list out on Friday, my top 10 coaches in the NBA, and I would have to think, I'm sure of it, that Mike Budenholzer is going to be in that top 10. He has done a good job. He's doing a great job with Dennis Schroeder, by the way. He's doing the same type of job that Greg Popovich did with Tony Parker. He treats him the same way. And I'll tell you something. I saw that young fella. I saw Tony Parker play in Europe, but I saw Dennis Schroeder play in Europe. And I thought, wow, whoever gets him is going to be really happy one day. He's a really good player. He just makes silly mistakes because he's young. Also because he's trying to prove himself. So it's tough.
Yeah, you know, it's one thing I can say, I love Atlanta Hawks fans. I'm one myself. But we're kind of hard. Like, we're kind of hard on – I think for most Hawks fans, I think they're pretty hard on Dennis Schroeder because they try to. A lot of people are still salty that they got rid of Jeff Teague, and
I'm not. I couldn't stand watching him play.
Same here. I thought he was going to be better than he was, and I was greatly disappointed.
Well, but, because he acts like he doesn't care.
No, he looks he looks like he's so nonchalant, you know. It's like he chooses when he wants to really, like, go hard. And Dennis Schroeder, I can say Dennis Schroeder plays pretty hard the entire game. Like, when he's out there, he might turn the ball over, but he's aggressive. You know, you can't take that away from Dennis Schroeder.
You can't, and that's the same way Tony Parker was. We'll have to see how that pans out. But
right.
Oklahoma City Thunder. Houston Rockets.
Whew.
They could play each other if the playoffs began tomorrow.
True. This would be the one time I would say, let's wait to after the playoffs to crown the MVP. But I think that matchup is going to be more about Westbrook and James Harden than it is the two teams. I think realistically, OKC doesn't stand a chance against the Rockets. I think they have too many weapons for OKC in a series. I think OKC could win a game or two, maybe a game, but I think the Rockets will beat them in a series.
Well, yeah, I think so too. You know, Mike D'Antoni's probably going to win the Coach of the Year award, and he should. If it doesn't go to Eric Spoelstra, it goes to Mike D'Antoni. I thought the Houston Rockets would be garbage this year.
they're proving that they didn't take a step back at all.
Well, they took two steps forward.
Right.
And the thing is with that team is that Mike D'Antoni's finally got a guy who can do what he wants him to do, and that's shoot threes. You know, I heard him. I don't know if he was kidding or not. Maybe he was. But he said on Sirius, Mike D'Antoni, that he wanted to see his team one day shoot 93-pointers.
Oh, man.
They shot 56 that night. And he said 90. I'm like, holy crap. That's every shot that you take is a three-pointer. But these guys are playing ball. He's got the kid Eric Gordon, who might be the sixth man of the year. They made a good trade for Lou Williams. James Harden is playing out of his mind. And then on the flip side, you've got Russell Westbrook, who's a one-man show. If you take Russell Westbrook off the Oklahoma City Thunder, you've got a real lottery team. They're the worst team in the NBA.
Yeah, they're horrible.
They're horrible.
Absolutely no offense.
None. And the thing is, and they don't have much defense either. You know, a lot of people thought that Steven Adams has come a long way. He's only been playing basketball 3 or 4 years. He's come a long way. But this is probably it. And people were talking about him being an all-star one day, and I'm thinking, no, he's going to be adequate. People got mad at me for saying it. But he's let them down, and he shouldn't have, because he wasn't what they thought he was. He's still a very serviceable center in the NBA, but he's not going to carry you to the promised land.
Yeah, he's a player that he's one of those players you just have to plug on the right team and see if it works. You know?
And, yeah, that's right. That's a good point, too. And he is plugged on the right team. The problem is, you know, and he's going to protect Russell Westbrook, which is what Westbrook needs. And it's all good. But that team goes out in the first round. I thought they were a lottery team. Maybe they still should be. But then you've got this other series. This one's going to suck for Memphis Grizzlies fans. Because it's always either the Spurs or the Clippers they play in the first round. Always. And they have to play the San Antonio Spurs, and it looks probably that way. Maybe they can catch the Thunder, get to that sixth seed, and then have to play the Rockets, which would be more fun for the Grizzlies. But do the Grizzlies beat the Spurs? They've done well against them this regular season.
I've learned to never go against Greg Popovich in the playoffs. I don't think Memphis can beat San Antonio. But I do think Memphis can win maybe two games if they played at their best. You know, like you said, they're a familiar opponent, so they know the Spurs. They know the San Antonio Spurs. So they do know their weaknesses and what they can and cannot do. If I'm Memphis, I would rather play the Clippers for sure. You know, bring back that little rivalry. But I don't see him beating the San Antonio Spurs. Not what Kawhi Leonard playing is like he's playing. I don't see it.
Yeah, I don't know. You know, Tony Allen usually knows how to turn it on during the playoffs. That's Kevin Durant. And I think this could be a really good series. I know Memphis is looking forward to it. They don't mind who they play. They're peaking at the right time. You know, Gasol's getting the rest he needs because he's hurt, and he'll be ready for the playoffs. Mike Conley started the season looking like the MVP, and now he's going to finish. It looks like he's finishing the season looking like the MVP. This is a good thing. I mean, a really good thing. But when you look at this team, and this is why I think David Fizdale's done a great job, and I'm not a fan. I wasn't a fan of his or that hiring. I host a show called Beyond the Arc, which covers the Memphis Grizzlies. And I can tell you, I was not happy about it, but he won me over. He convinced Zach Randolph to come off the bench, and that has done wonders. I think Zach Randolph should win the Sixth Man of the Year award.
Yeah, I saw that. I saw that. I was kind of questioning that. I was like, he's pretty. I was like, he's still good. He could start. I don't know why he did that, but I'm not questioning it anymore. It's definitely done dividends for them.
Well, that they made their bench stronger, and that was important because they needed that. Plus, here's the thing: Zach Randolph doesn't play defense anymore. So why not bring him in, let him play 20 minutes, let him jack up 20 shots in 20 minutes, and let the chips fall where they may.
Right. He's still, you know, he's still a credible post player, and you know, he can make a a jump shot, and so he's still a very serviceable player too. I think that's genius of David for him to come off the bench. I thought that was how the Pacers would be with Al Jefferson coming off the bench, but that turned out to be something completely different.
Well, there you go. You know exactly. The Pacers. You've got these teams. You've got the NBA. Were you disappointed by anything this year?
Let's see. Looking at the entire year, I can probably say I'm disappointed. Actually, I'm actually pretty disappointed at the Pacers. I think they should have been higher than they are. I think they have more talent than it looks. You know, the coach there said that he was going to bring up the pace and have them like run the floor, and I thought that was like a genius move, because Jeff Teague's pretty quick. He's still fast. Paul George is an athlete, and so I thought that team was going to be at least like top five in the East. So. Yeah, they're nowhere near top five, and that's a disappointment in my eyes. I think the Pacers should have done much better.
Well, we would have thought so. I thought losing Frank Vogel was a mistake. I like Nate McMillan. I think he's done a good job, but that's a new team too, and new teams don't win unless you have LeBron James on the team. It's just the way it is. I mean, they don't win unless it's LeBron. Let's face it; he's been in six straight finals with two different teams. So, I mean, that makes sense to me, I think. But I was disappointed with the Pacers. I thought that they would be better. And there's another thing with the NBA that I don't like, and that's these stars pouting. And Paul George is pouting. I don't get why, but he is. And he wants to leave, and he's going to leave. But yeah, it was really funny that, you know, he was doing really good until all the trade rumors started, and then he went south.
Yeah, I guess that got to him. I didn't see that coming either. I was like, why? I thought, you know, Paul George was a Pacer for life type player, but I guess not. You know, they kept saying he might be going to L.A. I think he's from L.A., so they were saying L.A., and they were saying that the Boston Celtics were going to try to trade for him. I believe the Boston Celtics were being greedy, and that's why they couldn't get him. They didn't want to get rid of, like, Jay Crowder and other pieces, which is smart to me, in my opinion, you know. But yeah, I don't know why he's been pouting. You know, he wants to go to a different team, but while you're there, you know, don't speak ill of the team while you're playing for the team. You know, you're trying to fight for an eighth spot or a seventh spot in the playoffs. You know, do what you can while you're there and worry about going to a different team in the offseason.
Well, that's just it. You know, you would think he'd be more grateful too, because that injury he suffered was horrific. But yeah. My goodness, you don't want to be there. You talk about your team to every reporter within earshot. You tell them that, well, we're best team in the world at home and a lottery team on the road. And then you got the opportunity to get traded, and yet you sulk.
Yep.
And I think Danny Ainge is right. I agree with you, because why would you trade for a guy that you're not going to beat LeBron James anyway?
No.
But it was funny what he said, though. He said, we're going to wait until LeBron gets a little older. So, you know what? I'm not the only one who thinks Brad Stevens is overrated. Apparently, so does his general manager, because he didn't try to get him a star he needed to win because he didn't think he could beat LeBron.
Yeah, you know, yeah. I say this. One thing we can say about Greg Popovich, you give him a star, he's gonna make sure that star gets full. You know, fully, you know, he's going to turn that star into a person you don't want to see in the playoffs. I mean, look, I think Kawhi Leonard would have been great, but I don't think Kawhi Leonard would have been on the level he's on right now if he hadn't have been on the Spurs.
Well, that's a good point. You know, when he was at San Diego State, I was doing my show still in Greece, and I watched him play, and I said, this kid is going to be a superstar in the league. And then the Spurs got him, and I knew he would be. Because he's the right guy for the Spurs. He doesn't talk back. He doesn't cause trouble. He just plays. And you don't even know he's there half the time until you look at the stat sheet and you see he's got 45 points and 15 rebounds and 7 steals.
Right.
That's the kind of player he is, but that's the type of player that Greg Popovich looks for. He knows what he's doing. He obviously does. Brad Stevens, though, they ranked him as high as number 3rd. They say he's the 3rd best coach in the NBA, and I don't see how you can do that. And the guy has not even won a playoff game yet or a playoff series yet. I don't see how you can give him and put him over Eric Spoelstra, over Rick Carlisle, over Budenholzer even, over Thibodeau, over Stotts. I mean, I can go on and on.
Because Isaiah Thomas has to, I mean, he had to put damn near 30 points up for that.
And
for
they the, still, you know. Yeah, and most of it's in the fourth quarter. But you know what? The Boston Celtics lead the NBA in blown fourth quarter leads for losses.
You know, that's a good stat. I didn't know that.
Yeah, they're awful.
You know,
the Hawks are just
they were
as
clutch,
bad, too.
But
they're not clutch.
No.
They're far from clutch, and their people know it, by the way. That's why Danny Ainge didn't pull the trigger, because he knows something's not right there yet. His coach isn't ready yet. You're putting him at number 3. God bless them. God bless him. I don't dislike Brad Stevens. I just think that he's overrated.
Yeah, I think people look at – and I'm not a big college fan, but I think people look at when he was at Butler. I think he did a really good job there, and I think people are in love with the potential of him being that good in the NBA.
And yeah, a lot of people – I remember when he got hired, people were going, who is this? What are they doing? Well, Danny Ainge has lost his mind. And let's face it, he's done a good job there. All things considered, he hasn't been handed a star yet, and they still do well. He's great out of the timeout, probably one of the best timeout coaches – out of the timeout coaches, out of the huddle coaches in the NBA. But that don't mean he's the 3rd best coach.
Yeah. What can you do in the playoffs, like you said? What are you going to do there when – The game slows down and it's time to win a 7-game series. What are you going to
do? Yeah, that's just it. And, you know, the thing is that they probably, if it started today, they'd have to play the Miami Heat. And I think that the Heat would beat that team.
Yeah, the Heat.
Nobody wants to play them.
Nobody. You know, they're the hottest team. I think they're the hottest team this year, I believe. They're like,
and they were 21-5 at one point.
Yeah, they were on like a mega winning streak. And
well, that's a credit to them and their system. Pat Riley has his coach's back, and you don't ever have to worry about him. Spoelstra gets the coach, and that's a good organization. I'm a Knicks fan, so I hate the Heat, but I have to take my hat off to them. You know, the team that's interesting to me is the Milwaukee Bucks. My dude Giannis. I don't know if I ever told you this, but I saw Giannis play in Greece when he was on the second division. And I didn't even go to watch him. I went to watch his brother Thanasis play. I wanted to see him play against Corfu. I lived on Corfu Island for 12 years. Anyway, so I see this kid. He's all arms and legs. I mean, all arms and legs. And he was okay, but you can see he was pretty raw. And then all of a sudden, this freaking kid is being drafted by the Bucks. And you know something? He's going to be a freaking superstar. And if they have to play the Washington Wizards, Washington's in trouble.
Yeah. Wow. Washington is. I mean, they're physical. I mean, Giannis, I feel like Giannis could, he's playing well, but I think Giannis could actually take it to another level.
Oh, I know. And they're missing Jabari Parker.
Right. He was, you know, high in the draft. So he's a potential other superstar. He's another
superstar. They have Tony Snell starting on that lineup.
Yeah. And we all know what Tony Snell did with Chicago.
We do.
So.
We do. And you know what? We also have Malcolm Brogdon, a rookie.
Yeah, I've heard his name a lot. And I've heard his name enough to be like, is he even a rookie? Like, I've heard his name a lot. They talk about him as if he's going to make a huge difference for the Bucks.
At some point, he will.
Like, yeah.
At some point, he will, I think, Xavier. I think he will. And let's see who. Let's talk. Okay, Cleveland. Let's finish our chat today with Cleveland.
Okay.
I cover the Cavs, as you know.
Yeah.
I get in trouble with about that crap every week. But I'm going to throw a stat to you. See what you think of this. The Cleveland Cavaliers are 23rd in the NBA for the season in defensive efficiency. Portland sucks at defense, and they have a high ranking. Here's the thing. Since the All-Star break, they're ranked number 29. No team since the 2004-2005 Miami Heat has won a championship outside the top 10 in defensive efficiency. And the reason they did is because the Dallas Mavericks were outside the top 10 also.
Man, that's incredible stat. I knew from watching, you know, some shows that Cleveland had a bad defense, but I didn't think it would be that bad. I didn't think it would.
Man, yeah, I get to watch them up close and personal, dude. They don't try at all. Oh, they don't try at all. None of them. And here's the thing, too. You've got J.R. Smith back after 3 months. You've got Kevin Love out back after 2 months. And they're not even playing well. Neither of them are playing defense at all. They're holding the team back, really, but they need them if they want to go forward in the playoffs, so they have to play them. Neither one of those guys should be playing. If it were February again, they wouldn't be playing.
Yeah, that's something to think about.
Well, how are they gonna repeat? By the numbers, they're not gonna repeat.
It's crazy to say this, and I never would have thought I would have said this at the beginning of the season, but they're actually beatable in the East. Like a team in the East, I feel like could beat them potentially. I'm not gonna say they are, but I think if somebody like the Raptors could pull it together, I think that'd be the team that could. You know, they won two games against them last year, and Cavaliers had a better defense last year by far, it seems like. So if you don't have that type of defense this year,
it's awful. There's no defense.
Kyle Lowry and DeMar DeRozan could eat them alive.
Plus, they're not getting the scoring from Kyrie either.
Oh yeah. Kyrie's he's like what, 20 points per game, like right at 20.
Yeah, sure.
And so, yeah, he's not Kyrie's. You know, I'll say this about Kyrie Irving: he has he's made some more clutch shots. It looks this year.
Oh yeah.
So he might not do anything for like a whole quarter. He might just let LeBron James and somebody else take over. And then the fourth quarter, he'll get you a shot that counts the most. I can say that about Kyrie. He's talk about the king of layups. I mean, once he's going to the paint, it's nothing you can do.
Nothing you can do. That's exactly right. I think they're going to repeat anyway. I think they're going to pull it together, but it's definitely going to be interesting. As is this playoff series, and I'll tell you, excuse me, I'm ready for it. After a long season, I am so ready for these playoffs to begin. I'm even more ready to watch the Cavs and whoever. Who do you see playing in the finals?
Finals, I think. I don't think. I hate to say it because I don't want to sound cliche, but it may Golden State may end up going back with the Cavaliers. I don't see anybody beating Golden State, really. With Kevin Durant back in the lineup, of course. Without him in the first series, maybe they could have some trouble. But I don't know. I don't think anyone can beat the Warriors. The Spurs can beat the Warriors, I think. But I don't know. I think realistically, the Golden State Warriors are going to come out the West, and Cleveland is going to come out the East. But I could be wrong.
It's easy to be wrong because there's 16 teams playing, for goodness sakes.
Right. If anybody else came out the West besides the Golden State Warriors, I would have to give it to the Spurs, or might be the Clippers here.
Could be. I don't think so. I think the Clippers are a paper tiger. At the beginning of the season, I predicted the San Antonio Spurs would play the Cleveland Cavaliers and the Cavs would win, and I'm going to stay with that. Definitely stay with that. Now, tell us all where we can find you once again.
All right, so you can find me on Instagram at The Real Xavier Cooper. It's The Real Xavier Cooper, no caps. And my Twitter, I always forget this, but my Twitter is X. Cortez, capital Q, Cooper, capital C. So that's capital X, capital Q, Cortez, capital C, as in Cooper. So X Cortez Cooper is where you can find me on Twitter.
And that's where you should look. Xavier, thanks for being here, dude.
No problem, man. Thanks for having me, man. I think this is some good, great practice for my broadcasting skills.
Absolutely, it is. I think so, too. All right, I tell you what, that was Xavier Cooper. You got to check him out over at SoaringDownSouth.com. And that's going to wrap it up for this week's NBA edition of the Phil Nason Show. Until next time, y'all take care of yourselves. Be good. And most importantly,
ladies and gentlemen, my mother thanks you. My father thanks you. My sister thanks you. And I thank you.